One of the things I did in my work to try to understand what shame is and how people experience it is I asked the research participants, give me an example, give me a definition. How do you define shame in your life? And for the first 4 years, I only spoke with women about shame. Here's what they said to me. Shame is being rejected. Shame is not being able to do it all. And people see you struggling. People see you failing. Another woman said, you work hard to show the world what it wants to see. Shame happens when your mask is pulled off and the unlikable parts of you are seen. It feels unbearable to be seen. Shame is being an outsider, not belonging. Shame is no seat at the table with the pretty popular girls. One of the issues that came up a lot for women, shame is when people see that we're really not holding it all together. I think for women, shame is not only about doing it all, doing it perfectly, taking care of everyone, but right underneath that, and possibly the greatest power of shame for women, is not only do it all, do it perfectly, keep a smile on your face while it's happening, is make sure no one ever sees how hard you're working. Because not only is it shaming to be imperfect and not be able to keep all the balls in the air, but it's shaming when people see us sweating, you know, when people see us in struggle. When I think about women and shame, one of the images that always comes up for me is the movie Flashdance, which, again, if you're my age, you probably immediately have the visual in your head. And if you're not, let me tell you a little bit about it. It was a movie from the 80s, and Jennifer Beals was the actress who played a woman named Alex, who was a steel worker by day and an exotic dancer by night. And she had no formal training, but was a really amazing dancer. And so in the end of this kind of hero's journey movie, she finds the courage to audition for a very hoity-toity dance company. And there's a scene in the movie during her audition where she is just absolutely amazing. First of all, she's beautiful and she looks incredible in this leotard. And she does this amazing dance where she's flying through the air and she's break dancing and she's doing classic ballet and it's all mixed together. And the judges, who were very kind of rolled their eyes when she walked in and had already dismissed her and put her down, by the time it's over, they're tapping their toes and they're just smiling at her, and it's amazing. And they jump to their feet. And it's a really powerful metaphor, in my opinion, for women in shame, because that final dance sequence, I recently found out probably 3 or 4 years ago that 5 people were used to film that sequence. They showed her face, but then she had a body double, and then they brought in a classic ballet dancer. They hired a male breakdancer who did the breakdancing pieces, and they hired a professionally trained gymnast for the big leaps and the big jumps. And it's a great metaphor, because I think what women try to be is we try to be that woman in that audition, that we come in and we can do it all and we can do it all perfectly. And the truth is that we're just one person. And without the help of filmmakers and a lot of editors, we fall and we stumble, and we have to work really hard to keep it all together. And it doesn't always work. For us, I think shame is being held up against the ideal that somehow we can live lives and edit them as we're living them, so that what the world only sees is what's perfect about us. Another good place to understand the root of what's shaming for women is Jim Mihalik's research from Boston College. He led a team of researchers who looked at what is it that makes women feminine? What do we believe are the roles and the norms for femininity in our culture? I have to tell you that reading this research was somewhere between pissed me off and heartbreaking, because it's recent research and it was evidence to me that we haven't moved very far. In this survey, when asked what norms do women have to conform to in order to be, considered feminine, the top were thin, nice, modest, and using all of your available resources in the pursuit of your appearance. So basically, my translation of that is to stay small and very, very quiet. And when I read this research, what was the heartbreaking part for me was not only my own story as a woman trying to both hold space for my vulnerability and my power in this world, but thinking about my daughter and thinking about her and her friends and watching them. And, you know, she's 12 and she hasn't gotten a hold of this list yet. She doesn't know, you know, exactly who or what they're supposed, they don't know who they're supposed to be yet. They haven't, the messages are just now starting. And I, you know, thought to myself, what if in the pocket of one of these girls is, you know, the cure to cancer or world peace or poverty? And somewhere in the next 10 years, this list is going to become a reality. And what ends up happening is, oh, I'm not supposed to be smart. I'm not supposed to be powerful. I'm not supposed to speak up. I'm supposed to be quiet, thin, modest, and use all my extra time, effort, and money to look better. And so I think understanding those conformity to norms and understanding these metaphors of perfection help us, again, get our heads and hearts around what is set up for us is not manageable. It doesn't exist. Perfection doesn't exist. And the pursuit of it is exhausting. It moves us away from probably who we are.